Good morning. So this is the second week of the month, and the theme for the month is deepening in our faith. This is when the real work starts happening, you know? This is when you have to, the rubber meets the road, guys. This is it. And so today's talk is faith in action. And Ernest Holmes wrote this book called Can We Talk to God? Who has it? Somebody have it? Who won the basket on Friday night? The Ernest Holmes basket. Do we know? Oh. Kirko. Okay. Well, that book was in there. The book, Can We Talk to God? And in it, Ernest Holmes said this, faith has been recognized as a power throughout the ages, whether it be faith in God, faith in one's fellow man, faith in oneself, or in what one is doing. Those who have great faith have great power. You heard that said by the practitioner who led our meditation. So today's talk is faith in action. But what does that look like? What does faith in action look like? And I'll give you a big hint. Vision, a center for spiritual living, is faith in action. It is faith in action. This community is one of active faith. And I'll tell you, active faith creates miracles. It creates miracles. And we saw a miracle right here on Friday night, did we not? Who was here for the spaghetti dinner, okay? Oh my God, you all saw a miracle that night. Those volunteers in hospitality created a full dinner with no kitchen. That is a miracle. They put together a dinner without the benefit of stoves or ovens or large countertops or running water or anything of that sort. That is a miracle of faith. That is a miracle of faith. It was wonderful. We came together with a divine idea, we set an intention, and we manifested a miracle. That's faith in action. That is faith in action. Faith is an activity as well as a state of mind. It is an activity. We have faith in things. We have faith in people. We have faith in events. And that is the action of it. Affirmative prayer is a mental activity. It occurs in mind. My mind and your mind. It is a mental activity. The faith moves the law into manifestation. Does that make sense? So it is an action. Mark 10:52 said this, "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately the gentleman received his sight. In Luke 17:19, right? And he said to him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has healed thee." Matthew 9:22, Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole." The faith comes first. Affirmative prayer occurs in our minds, and it is our responsibility to know the truth. We can't just stop at hoping. Oh, I hope it'll work out. I hope it'll come out good. We have to go beyond hope. We have to know the truth. We have to know the truth in our own mind because it's the only place where the doubt exists. We have to convince ourselves of ultimate truth. Spirit already knows the truth. We're not trying to convince God of anything when we do affirmative prayer. Spirit already knows the truth for us. We are convincing ourselves. Again, in that book, Can We Talk to God, Ernest Holmes talks about faith in action. He says this, "The mind can accept or it can reject, but it can't do both at the same time. The mind cannot accept what it rejects. It cannot embody what it denies. It will not accept what it refuses to believe." Prayer, faith, and belief are mental attitudes. And it is written, he quoted James 5:15, that faith shall heal the sick and God shall raise him up. Now that's really important because it implies faith comes first. The act of the human comes first. Faith shall heal the sick and God shall raise him up. Which means that the action is on the part of the human first, and then it is followed by an act of God. It implies that without such an act of the human, the act of God does not follow. So faith is always the first step. We have to demonstrate the faith that knows no opposite. We can't entertain the opposite. That is huge. You want to know what faith in action looks like? Again, I would say look at vision. Vision is a place of faith in action. You know, 8.5 years ago when Pacific Church was closing down, I had just gotten my minister's license. I just passed the panels in Asilomar, and the mantra that I carried with me all through ministerial school was, I will never leave my home church. I will never leave my home church. I will never leave my home church. And so I graduated, I passed the panels, and my home church left me. How about that? So there we were, brand new minister, John was the operations, and we stood there like deer in the headlights, you know. What are we going to do? We asked everybody at the Old Pacific Church, what do you want to do? Do you want to continue to worship together? Do you want to continue to play together and pray together? And everybody that was remaining in the congregation said, yes. And so John and I looked at each other across the room, and we went, yes, let's build a church. Let's make a church. How hard can it be? I got to tell you, after about 6 months and about, what, 3.5 feet of paperwork, we birthed Vision, a center for spiritual living. And that was walking in faith. That was absolutely walking in faith. Neither one of us had any idea how to do it, and we just kept putting one foot in front of the other. We just kept inviting everybody along for the walk with us, and here we all are, 8 years later. Because there was something going on that was bigger than me and bigger than John and bigger than really the group that was originally signed on, the 102 people who signed on to the original charter. There was something big happening. Spirit had an idea of vision, and it was bigger than any of us really thought about it. And as long as we kept that as the goal, as long as we kept that idea of Spirit in front of us as the goal, it didn't matter that we didn't know what we were doing. You know, we just kept doing it. We just kept putting one foot in front of the other, reading through another piece of paper, doing what it said, and moving forward. You know, I was just listening to an interview that President Barack Obama gave just the other day, and he said, they asked him about what was the time he felt most broken, and he said it was when he was running for some elected position, and he just got crushed in 99, and he felt really bad and broken. But what he said was this, which really interested me. He said, it had to be more about what he was doing, the good that he would do, rather than himself. He said, because if you're worrying about yourself, if you're thinking, am I succeeding? Am I in the right position? Am I being appreciated? Then you're going to wind up feeling frustrated and stuck. But if you keep it about the work, you'll always have your path. There will always be something to be done. And see, for me, that's what it was. We kept it about the work. We kept it about vision. That's what we did, and that is faith in action. We have to be so convinced, we have to be so convinced in the power and the presence of Spirit, the living God, alive, awake, and aware, and flowing through us into the world, running the affairs of our lives, and accepting nothing less than perfect power for good, operating through us and in our lives. That's perfect faith. Ernest Holmes in that same book went on to say this, prayer leads one to the place of mental acceptance, but prayer without faith is ineffectual. Faith elevates the prayer to conviction and acceptance. It is the natural law in the spiritual world. It is the natural law in the spiritual world, which, by the way, was the name of the book that his mom gave him when he was a boy. It was a book by Henry Drummond, Natural Law in the Spiritual World. It's great. They still have it. You can get it online, actually. It's a wonderful book. Anyway, I got lost. His mother gave him a copy. So we had Natural Law in the Spiritual World by Drummond in one hand, and he had Emerson in the other, and the rest, as they say, is history. So we begin in prayer. We pray, we affirm the truth, we convince ourselves of the truth. We drive out doubt and we drive out fear and we drive out despair by praying. We convince ourselves in our own minds that Spirit holds nothing against us. Spirit holds no good from its creations, and we are that. We are that. Again, in that same book, he says, following the thought is the thing. And really, isn't that what we're about, right? Following the thought is the thing. Following the prayer is the answer. Following the self-knowingness is the demonstration. If, then, we are some part of universal wholeness, does it not follow that as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is? This is why the power of faith is so important. The affirmative triumphs over the negative. Faith, fully orbed, steps into power of God in our lives. We are that. We already are that. Holy moly, this is powerful stuff. We already are that. We cannot afford anymore to be lukewarm about it. You know, we can't be in one hand, we cannot be declaring our good as one and the same, as spirit in form operating through us in the world, and on the other one going, gee, I don't know, maybe, maybe not, it may not work out for me. We can't do both and expect the manifestation. We cannot entertain false thoughts. We cannot give in to doubt, fear, or false beliefs. We must know that we know. We must know that we know. It is not, Ernest Holmes goes on, it is not our spirit that needs to be made whole. It is our mental reactions to the life that needs healing. These mental reactions are both conscious and subjective. That's what he says. So it's our knowing mind, and it's also below our level of awareness, both conscious and unconscious, below our level of awareness. And that's how prayer changes things. This practical spirituality addresses mind at both levels. This teaching addresses the level of consciousness, and affirmative prayer addresses the subjective. This teaching that we have that is so valuable changes us. We keep going back to prayer. We keep affirming the truth. We keep understanding that there is no other power working through our lives but the one power and presence of Spirit. That's it. That's all we are. He goes back to say, if we seek to combat, this is Ernest Holmes, if we seek to combat evil, which we want to think of as mistakes, right? If we seek to combat evil, we should be careful we do not make the evil real. Our argument then is between the experience of evil and a solid conviction of good as the only reality. The law of life cannot produce death. Wholeness will never create separateness. Omniscience cannot be ignorance, and God did not make a devil. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Thank you. That is faith in action. We have to stand in the truth of the good that is God as the only power operating in and through our lives. It can't be both ways. We have to deny to our last breath anything that opposes that truth. We have to stand in the truth of our being. Yes, we're not God, but we are some aspect of the power of God flowing through us. We are some part of the life of God, and we must continue to look into the face of the facts and know a greater truth. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Brother Mike. We have to look those facts in the face and know a greater truth of them. We're not denying what is. We're saying there is a greater truth. There is a greater truth to be known. There is a greater truth to be revealed. We call them out for what they are, conditions. And what we know about conditions is they change all the time, don't they? They change all the time. That's faith in action. That is faith in action. And why are we so hesitant to do that? Why are we so hesitant to just stand in our truth and in our power that we know is not even our power anyway? It's God's power acting through us. Why are we so hesitant to do that? Yeah, I know. We don't want to look like idiots. I know. So if it doesn't happen the way we're standing and declaring and affirming that it should happen, we don't want to look like fools. We don't want to appear fools, you know? Oh, my God, what am I going to look like if I'm standing in the truth of God's good operating through my life as the only power on my life, and it turns out something other than what I'm affirming? Oh, my God, I'll be so embarrassed. I will look so foolish. Guess what? You know what? That ship has sailed. You know, I'm sorry, but I've looked foolish in tons of different ways over my life, and it doesn't kill me, you know? It is the one and only power operating through our lives, the one and only power. It is only when we dive into this teaching, head and heart, intellect and feeling, spirit, soul, and body, that we experience powerful manifestations, right? Like Ernest Holmes said, those who have great faith have great power. It is only when we dive in and we let loose the moorings and we go deep into this faith, deep, deep into this faith, that we understand that there is only one power and presence operating through our lives, and that is a power of good. That is God. That spirit, the living God Almighty, operating through our lives. And once again, Ernest Holmes, speaking to us from across the decades, says this: truth knows no opposites. When we take away the belief in evil, it flees, the dissolution of this belief. We must be continually reminding ourselves of the power of the word and our ability to consciously use it. We must know the truth produces freedom because truth is freedom. We are not God, but we are some part of the power of God. It is in quiet expectancy and calm confidence that our work should be done. The results rest in the eternal law for good. That's who we are. That's what we do. We are some part of the power of God, and we have to at last own it. We have to come to own it at last and stand in the power and presence and deny anything, any condition that is in opposition to that. And we have to walk forward. We don't have to need to know the whole staircase. We have to walk forward. We have to put one foot in front of the other. We may not know the end product, but we know the goal. And that is wholeness and health and healing and transforming our lives to more reflect the idea that the whole and perfect and complete life of spirit is living us. There is nothing else. We are that, and that is faith in action. Thank you.